This epistle for the second Sunday in Advent, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15. Brethren, what things soever were written for our instruction, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost and in the gospel. Taking that according to St. Matthew chapter 11. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, Art thou he that art to come, or look we for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, Go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. That's for the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today can be called the Feast of St. John the Baptist. Of course, he has a feast on June 24th and the beheading on August 29th, two other feasts of the year. But today is his real feast. The second Sunday in Advent, we consider the Great One that prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. He was 3 months older than our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, or 6 months older in the flesh. And he preached differently than all other prophets. He was so different than all the other prophets. And everyone recognized that he was different. In fact, we can say this about our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about Jesus Christ is different. And therefore it is fitting that the greatest prophet that should prepare his coming should be different, even different from all of the other prophets. One great difference of John the Baptist, today is the day we consider that great man. He used to be considered the greatest of all the saints in the church in the Middle Ages, and there was such a great devotion to John the Baptist. Many ancient churches of John the Baptist. And St. John, our Lord would say of him that he was the greatest. So he holds a special place. Because though there are many saints, before John the Baptist, none were like him. He changed sanctity. And he changed the whole world. He was different. What made him different? Why was he different than Elias and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the great prophets of the Old Testament who were also preparing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was different because when he was 3 months before his birth, when he was 6 months in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth, he heard the voice of a woman. And this woman simply said, "Hello." She simply gave the normal Jewish greeting. But there was something different in the greeting. There was something different in the voice. And the baby that was inside the womb of Elizabeth recognized the voice. For this voice is not the voice of an ordinary Jewish lady that is resonating in my mother's ears. This is the voice of the Mother of God. His life was transformed. And the life of all prophets after him was transformed. Prophecy could no longer be the same once the voice of that woman was heard, and she only said hello. She did not preach a sermon. She did not say any profound or unusual thing. She simply said hello. But there was a way that she said it that touched of the divine. There was a way that she said it that no one else could say except for her that had God within her. And therefore the child recognized John the Baptist, 6 months in his mother's womb, 3 months before his own birth, recognized that the Messiah was nearby. No one knew that he was near. Elizabeth did not know. Joseph did not know. Only Mary knew. And Mary did not speak to John. Mary spoke to Elizabeth. John overheard the words. You know that the beauty of sanctity from this day forward, there was a time when God spoke directly. He spoke directly to Moses through an angel. He spoke directly to David and to Jacob and to Isaac, and it did not make them great. But when John overheard a conversation to someone else, he understood. Do you know that if any of us have profited from the gospel at any time in our lives, it's because we've overheard a conversation between two other people. We heard something that was spoken by a mother to a woman. Now this mother is the Mother of God, and the woman that she speaks to is our Holy Mother, the Church. A conversation of two women. What do they say to each other? Greetings. The simple word of greetings. But there is a way that these two greet that cannot be had unless God is between them, unless God is within. And John recognizes it, and he lays the foundation of all future sanctity. Those that want to be saints are those that overhear the words of the gospel. Isaac told beautiful stories to his children, and they were true and from God. Abraham told beautiful stories to his children, true and from God. Moses told the most beautiful stories of all, true and from God. But at the end of Moses' life, he would say, "You Jewish people, you are thick-necked. When I die, you will not listen to my teaching." For though he spoke of God, he did not have the power, as St. Paul says, because he spoke the religion of death. But when this woman speaks, she has power. She does not say great things. She only says greetings, hello. And when she says it, she brings a blessing with her. And that blessing is her own son, just conceived only a few days before. And that son then grows. He grows inside of her, and he grows inside of his church, and he grows inside of those that believe in him. Who is the one that speaks to us and helps us to understand this conversation? It is John the Baptist. He leapt for joy in his mother's womb. You know that before that leaping for joy, there really wasn't any joy in the whole world. There was no real deep and lasting joy in the Old Testament. But when John the Baptist, 6 months in his mother's womb, when he heard that word, he leapt for joy. And it would be the joy that our Lord Jesus Christ would say, no man can take from you. 30 years later, John is in a desert. Now, one of the things that is different about the preaching of St. John, he preached before his birth. No other prophet did that. Another thing that is different, he did not go out to preach. Jonas went into the town of Nineveh to preach. Daniel went to where the Jews were in Babylon to preach. Jeremiah went to the people and preached. He even went to Egypt to follow the Jews that were in Egypt, and he preached to them. He followed them. John the Baptist followed no one. He went out in the desert by himself. He did never go in the city. He just went into the desert by himself. He called no one to come to him. But it just so happened that over the years, people went through this desert and they saw a strange man dressed in coarse garments eating locusts. This guy is weird. And you know that human beings have always wanted to see weird things. That's why we go to the zoo. We want to see things that are different. And so the word reached out to the cities. There's a man in the desert. He's been there since he was 4 years old. He says locusts taste good. This guy is crazy. Really? Let's go see him. And they went out in the desert and they saw him. And he began to speak. And they heard his words, different than any other words they had ever heard before. And they went out and gathered more people, and they went into the desert until eventually all of Israel knew about the man in the desert. He never left the desert. What did he offer them? Water. He didn't even give them water to drink. He poured it over their heads. He told them to do penance. And they followed him. So many followed him that the Pharisees came out into the desert. And they were angry at this man. Why are you preaching here in the desert where you know people will come? Why are you preaching? Are you the prophet? He said, no, I am not. Are you the Messiah? No, I am not. Well, then if you are not the Messiah, why do you preach? I am the one who prepares the way of the Lord, makes straight his paths. But they that came were of the Pharisees. They did not want to prepare the way of the Lord. Then John, eventually the Pharisees successfully got him thrown in prison for some crime. And he was still in prison. Some of his disciples would not leave him to follow Christ. Go and follow Christ. Peter, Andrew, John, James, and John finally did. But others still stayed with him. Go ask him. Ask him what's happening. And our Lord says, tell John what you have seen. The blind see. The deaf hear. The lame walk. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The dead rise again. Notice this word of our Lord. And after he says that, he says, blessed is he that is not scandalized in me. We mention often here. Note what our Lord says. The blind their blindness is taken away. The deaf, their deafness is taken away. The dead, their death is taken away and they rise again. The lame, their lameness is taken away and they walk. The poor stay poor. Not bringing them any money. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blind see, lame walk, dead rise. Poor, poor. And blessed is he that is not scandalized in me. Why the scandal? The scandal is because of the fact, two things. One, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to die and nobody wants to die. Two, our Lord's purpose is not to take away poverty, it is to give the gospel. And that makes men scandalized. We don't want poverty, we don't want the gospel, we want poverty taken away. And if poverty is taken away, we will be happy. This is a problem. For instance, here in our beloved land, how many Filipinos, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years of their life, they don't get married during those years? They go to another country, like the ones I was sitting on the plane with yesterday. They go to another country for 2 years, and they're in contract to make dollars. And they go out for dollars in order to support their family, perhaps, in order to stay alive, perhaps. And what is happening? You know, in the old days, they would have gone into monasteries. They would have gone into convents. And they would have consecrated their poverty. But nowadays, the world says, you have to get out. You have to take away poverty. It's the most important thing. You've got to become rich. You've got to go to rich countries. Because if you go to America, where everybody gets divorced and they curse all the time, you'll be happy. Because that's the definition of happiness. Going to a mall. I've been to a mall. I've been cursed out for being in line in front of the wrong person to get my candy bar or whatever it was. I have seen people that have committed suicide. I have seen miserable lives. And they all have money. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not come to bring that. His gospel is different. Behold, those that are in soft garments, says our Lord Jesus Christ, they're in the houses of kings. Why don't you go to the houses of kings? Well, you went out into the desert. What went you out into the desert to see? It is a serious problem of our age, of materialism, that we worry too much about money and not enough about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging to the poor. Why? Because all they have to do is love their poverty. You see, the rich have to give, and it always hurts to give. They never give enough. St. John Bosco says, the majority of the rich go to hell. And he says, the reason is quite simple, because in the parable of Dives and Lazarus, it is never recorded in the parable of Dives that he was a bad man. He was not a thief. He was not impure. He was not angry. The only thing that he was rich. And there was a poor man outside of his house, and he did not give him to food to eat. He did not feed the poor Lazarus. And he did not live a bad life, says St. John Bosco. He did not feed Lazarus. He did not live a bad life. He died and was buried in hell. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ says it is easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be saved. Because the rich man must be generous with his money, and if he is not, particularly to the poor, then he will not go to heaven. But the poor man, he also must be generous according to his means. He must also be generous. He is not excused. But it's easier to give away a dollar when you only have a dollar than it is to give away a million. It's just the nature of men. Therefore, it is easier for the poor to be saved than it is for the rich, though they have the same problem. He did not come to take away poverty, though he alleviates certain suffering. He came to bring a gospel, and that gospel is also about his own death. And where did the joy come? There is such joy in the season of Advent. We wear the color purple. But why do we wear it? We wear the color purple for the same reason that we tell a bride on the night before her wedding, you can't put on your white outfit yet. Because tomorrow morning is when you get married. And then you will put on your white tomorrow morning. And so she is, so to speak, dressed in mourning. But she is not dressed in mourning. She is dressed in anticipation. We wear purple not because we are sorrowful during Advent. We wear purple because of the anticipation of the great day when we will be able to wear white again. And that will be the day when Jesus Christ is born. There is joy. We read, for instance, in this season of Advent, that the trees shall clap their hands. The trees clap their hands. The mountains sing. For great joy that the Christ is coming. And the trees and the mountains, they are our possession. You know, there is an American comedian named Stephen Wright. It's all his unusual jokes. He says, you know, I have the largest seashell collection in the whole world. It's located on all the seashores all throughout the world. At home, I have a map of the world, full scale. 1 mile equals 1 mile. How is that possible? In fact, it's true. According to our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Genesis, he said, I have made this whole world for you. Therefore, it's your possession. I have made all the things in it for you. Therefore, they are your possession. And the poor man sees that the beautiful trees and the beautiful sky and the beautiful sun and the beautiful moon and the beautiful stars, they are his possession. And therefore he rejoices to be able to see these things and then to return glory to God for having been able to see them. God gives us so many things, the air that we breathe. He gives us so many things and we don't understand. We don't see that we have riches all around us and treasures all around us. The poor of the gospel preached unto them. And then our greatest treasure, I didn't mean to go on this long here, the greatest treasure that we all have, for a brief explanation of these words I must read in a few moments, the greatest treasure that we all have, the Mother of God. She is our mother. As we'll mention a few days from now, in Mexico, they were a very violent people. And they had human sacrifices, and their priests cut out hearts. They said a good priest could cut out a heart in 11 seconds. In one ceremony, they killed 30,000 warriors on one altar in 3 days. Around the clock. They brought them up in a chain and they cut them, and they had several thousand dogs that would lick up the blood, and then they had the dragging of the bodies away, and it was an offering to the sun god. They would sacrifice babies. And then the Catholic priests came in. Their priests, the Aztec priests, were filled with blood, and the Catholic priests talked about sacrifice. And so the Aztecs went to the mass and they didn't see any blood. And they said, where's the blood? I want to see hearts cut out. I want to see babies being eaten. That's not a sacrifice. And the priest said, no, it is a sacrifice. Well, this is the sacrifice of God himself. And they said, I don't believe you. And they left. And very, very, very few converted to the faith. Until December the 12th, 1531. When the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared on the tilma of Juan Diego, and they looked at her, and you know what they said?
She's our mother. She's our mother. We have a mother. We have a mother. We have a mother. And they ran to the street saying, she's our mother. She's our mother. She came to us. She's our mother. And they weren't impressed by the priests. And they weren't impressed by the mass. And they weren't impressed by the sermons. But when they saw the mother, they converted by the millions. More than 20 million would convert to the Catholic faith in very few years. Only because she's our mother. They saw the mother of God. She's our own Papansen, she said. They would say, she's our own mother of God. She's our own mother, God. She's ours. She is the mother of God and she's the mother of us. We are the children of this mother. Let us go to her religion. And they went to be baptized. Some priests would have to baptize. One priest baptized 1,000 men in one day. One priest baptized 1 million people himself. 1 million. His arms and his back hurt so bad that at the end of the baptisms of several years, about 4 years, he baptized 1 million, and he could no longer walk, could no longer move his arms, just to lift them to do the water baptism. Why did they convert? Because she's our mother. We must remember that the greatest treasure that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us, the poor, is his mother. And in 1970, when Archbishop Lefebvre founded the Society of St. Pius X, as we mentioned it 2 days ago, but that was in Singapore, so we'll mention it again here. When he founded the Society of St. Pius X, he wanted this society to have a great love of our Lord Jesus Christ in his physical and in his mystical body. Who knows how to teach the love of his body? The one who formed it. Therefore, he consecrated our society to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that she who formed the physical and the mystical body will form the love of those bodies inside of us, members of the society. And therefore, he consecrated his Society of St. Pius X to the Immaculate Conception, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he made the principal feast of our society not the feast of St. Pius X on September the 3rd, but the feast of the Immaculate Conception on December the 8th, that we might keep the faith immaculate, that we might be immaculate and strive to become immaculate and teach the importance of immaculateness to all souls. And only Mary knows what it means to be immaculate. So our society is consecrated to her. Why do we have rubrics? We mentioned this sometimes. I'll mention it here. You know that human beings cannot live without ritual. We cannot live without rubrics. You know, you get out of bed in the morning, and you have your coffee. You have your coffee, and it's got to be in that particular broken cup. And if it's not, somebody dies. And the cup has to sit on that spot, on that table, and you sit in your sacred chair. And if someone's sitting in it, they die. There are rituals to our life, rituals to how we go to bed, rituals to how we get up in the morning. You may not realize it, but every morning, 37 seconds after you wake up, you blow your nose. And every single morning, you have a certain way of walking out that door. You have a special groan that you use. Those are all rituals. And human beings cannot live without ritual. Now, man, on his own rituals, they tend to be not very beautiful. That is why God gave woman to man. Because when God gave woman to man, she would sanctify his rituals. Like, for instance, we know in America, they say one of the signs that a young man has met a girl, he starts taking showers. He starts wearing clean clothes. You know, he never wore clean clothes before, and he didn't know what soap was. But when he meets a girl, all of a sudden, he meets soap. And he meets clean clothes. And why do men dress the way they do? Because mommy said, that don't go with that. You need to wear this. Okay. She changes the ritual. What makes a man's ritual not low? What makes it beautiful? What makes it clean? The love of a woman. What about the church? Why do we priests wear vestments? Why do we hold our hands a certain way during the holy sacrifice of the Mass? Why do we genuflect? Because we love a woman. And because she said, this is how you dress when you go before my son. And everything she tells us is important. Remember in the Old Testament, Jacob said, I will not be blessed by my father. He does not want to bless me. And Rebekah said, no, put on these clothes. Bring this food before Isaac, and he will bless you. Yes, mother. And he put on the clothes that Rebekah put upon him. He prepared the food that she told him to prepare, and he went before Isaac, and he was blessed. So likewise, we in the church dress the way our mother, our holy mother, the mother of God, wants us to dress, and our holy mother, the church, wants us to dress. And we go this way in front of our God because we love a woman who is worth more than all the other ladies, though we love all ladies. This lady is special. This lady is different. This lady demands more ritual. This lady demands more beauty. And this lady transforms the world. And therefore we accept all of her rituals. We accept everything that she wants. And we have no conditions. No conditions. Everything is important. And so we follow whatever she says. And so Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre wanted us to see the beauty of all the things in our faith. So we consecrated our society to her. Now I'll read these words in Latin. But the very last words, there are many beautiful words taken from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, taken from the Imitation of Christ, taken from the Sacred Scripture. But then the last words that we will say, when kneeling in front of the tabernacle, O Domina Mea, O Mater Mea, all in Latin, of course. O my Lady, O my Mother, I offer myself wholly to Thee. I consecrate to Thee as Thy devoted servant my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being, so that I might be altogether Thine. O good Mother, keep me, defend me as Thy thing and possession. We know that if we give ourselves completely to her, she will protect us, because all women protect their possessions. You try to take a possession of a woman and she'll kill you, particularly if the possession is her child. And then Mary is the moment of woman's. If we make ourselves her thing and possession, then we have nothing to fear. She will protect us. And so let's love the Blessed Virgin and let's stay faithful to her. And remember that St. John the Baptist, be grateful to him, because he is the one who first heard that conversation between two women. And he still explains to us that conversation, which is the gospel. And let us understand that conversation of the gospel, the good news, and let it change our lives. And then we will live in peace, die in peace, and live eternally in peace. And we'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.